Hey folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you gotta do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653 or gold, or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family. Hello, America, and happy Friday. Well, we've got the show of shows for you. We're not going to let you down. We've got some great guests. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after these messages. Hey folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you gotta do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653 or gold, or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family. Hey folks, have you heard of cancer-fighting foods? The American Cancer Society discovered diets rich in fruits and vegetables may actually lower your risk of cancer. Think about that for a second. That's really important. Hopefully you hear this and run to the store for 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. But if you're like me, you probably don't have the time to do that, right? So maybe you should consider adding Field of Greens to your daily health regimen. Each fruit and veggie in Field of Greens was doctor selected for studied health benefits. There's a heart health group, lungs, kidneys, and metabolism groups, even healthy weight. What your body needs is in each scoop of delicious Field of Greens. I take it every day. Sometimes I put it in a shake. Sometimes I put it in my egg white omelet in the morning. Field of Greens can help prevent, treat, and cure cancer? No, but it can powerfully help you out at your next checkup. Your doctor will notice your improved health or you're going to get your money back. Here's the most amazing thing about it. I started using Field of Greens a year ago. My cholesterol is down. My blood sugar is down. My weight's down. My health is up. My sleeping patterns are better. My metabolism is up. If you want to experience what I've experienced, go check out Field of Greens. Jump into the ring here. You're going to get an enormous benefit. And it's so simple. Single scoop, a couple of seconds, healthy lifestyle all day long. Now, thanks to our good friends at Brickhouse Nutrition, Field of Greens is going to give you a 15% off discount plus free rush shipping. All you got to do is go to fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JUSTNEWS for your discount. That's promo code JUSTNEWS at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code JUSTNEWS. Go check it out.
Welcome back, everybody. It's been 2 years and roughly 10 months since January 6th, and we are still trying to find out information, get to the bottom of what happened on that day. And someone who is working to make great strides in that arena is Georgia Congressman Barry Loudermilk. He is the chairman of the Subcommittee on Oversight for the House Admin Committee, and he has been continuing his work and getting down to the bottom of the January 6th protests and all of those three-letter federal agency investigations from that day that have continued to yield not really much of anything for us to go off of. So, Mr. Chairman, it's so great to have you back on the show. Thank you for being here.
Well, it's good to be with you, Amanda. John, it's good to see you again.
You as well, sir.
Sir, we just aired some video for our audience of this these gallows that were constructed in the wee hours of January 6th. And, you know, that image of the gallows over the Capitol has become almost emblematic of that day. We saw it splashed all across media on that day, the weeks following it, and really ever since. When it comes to the FBI, you know, the FBI is heralded as the premier law enforcement and investigatory entity almost in the world. I mean, it is very, very well regarded and heralded over the globe. And yet they haven't found anything out. Is it a lack of curiosity? Is it a lack of resources? Why is it so hard to find out information about this? You got video. I mean, you can't see the faces exactly, but there's video.
Right. And you know, Ed Martin has done a tremendous job on this, came to us a few weeks ago. We made the videos available to him. And as you can see, I mean, there's some pretty clear images. And I would make an argument is that the FBI has gone after other people with less evidence or at least put more effort into an investigation than what it appears that they have done here. I mean, there are so many anomalies that have happened on that day. If you even think about the pipe bombs, they have no idea of who did that, which is amazing to some of us, is that there should be some suspects, at least people that they're talking to in all this. So it is very confusing, and that's some of the answers that we need to get.
Yeah, absolutely. Sir, you've had some communication with the FBI. Can you confirm they don't have any suspects for the gallows, right? Even despite all the evidence that's now on tape, no suspects that you know of. Is that correct?
That's my understanding, is that there are no suspects. I mean, you have a van that they drove up in, and they took the gallows out. Then some came in a taxi. And according to Ed Martin, he's found other evidence that they may have gone to a coffee shop. My question to the FBI would be, did you look for closed circuit television from the coffee shop? Have you contacted the cab company? You should be able to. You've got timestamps with the Capitol Police cameras as far as the taxi cab. Is it not possible to find out, you know, who got in that cab? Did they use a card or did they pay cash? You know, this is some of the things that we don't know. And another big question I have, John, is this gallows was put up at 6 o'clock in the morning. It wasn't taken down until later in the day. How is it that Park Police, Capitol Police, FBI, someone, Metropolitan Police, did not go and take this thing down earlier in the day? As you know, that the riots and the larger protests didn't start until early in the afternoon. So how was it that this thing was allowed to stay up this long?
Yeah, it's crazy. Doesn't make any sense.
There are so many unanswered. No, it doesn't. And it seems like every time we get an answer to something or a partial answer to something, it leads to 20 other questions. I wanted to ask you about this questioning in the House Homeland Security Committee from Congressman Clay Higgins asking about these ghost buses. Now, I'm not deeply embedded in law enforcement. I'm not familiar with that term. It certainly seems, though, like FBI Director Christopher Wray should know that term. But, you know, I don't know if those exist. I don't know if they had any part in January 6th. I don't know what happened, what the truth is behind the gallows. I don't know what the truth is behind the pipe bomb. But what I do know is that there certainly seems to be a lot of tidbits of information that are leading in one direction, and that is that federal agencies had a pretty substantial hand in carrying out what happened on January 6th. Do you think that that's true?
That's a clear possibility. And what you've described is really what we're going through, is we don't know the truth. We have little tidbits of information that we run down that path and we try to get more. It leads to more information that brings more questions. That's really what we've been through ever since we started this investigation in January. We've hit several roadblocks, including missing documents and some other things. But we do know that there was involvement to an extent with federal agencies as well as the Metropolitan Police Department. We have confirmed, as this program it released exclusively, that we have confirmed that a Metropolitan Police officer in plainclothes was encouraging people to go into the Capitol. We're still digging into that. And look, just because there's federal agents that were there, it doesn't necessarily mean they were doing anything nefarious, because it is kind of common to embed law enforcement in plainclothes in big crowds. Whenever we have a pro-life rally on the mall, we do have you know, Park Service police and others embedded in the crowd for just to make sure everybody's safe. The issue we have is when they engage in things like the Metropolitan Police officer did, who was encouraging people to go into the Capitol. If they were federal, if there were federal agents that were on Capitol Hill property prior to the mutual aid agreement going being called in by Chief Sun that day, they were in violation of the Constitution and department protocols. Is they're not allowed on Capitol Hill property, whether MPD or FBI, without the exclusive permission of the Capitol Police Board. And so these are some of the things that we're looking at with our video evidence, with other testimonies, is to find out exactly what role these agencies had. And if we did have three-letter agencies embedded in the crowd for a legitimate reason, what was the intelligence that they had that caused them to deploy these types of agents, and how many were there? I think we're going to be surprised to see how many there were actually there. And if they were there in sufficient numbers and they were embedded in the crowd, what actions did they take to stop these people from getting into the Capitol and causing the destruction and the violence they did? Were they not in the crowd to stop some of this happening? And quite possibly they did. We just haven't seen the evidence of that. And we, and you know, of course, it's hard getting some of these agencies to speak to us about it.
Yeah, you have done an extraordinary amount of work already, sir. And I think some of the hearings you did with Chief Sun and others, there's a really clear thing. And you talked about it last time on the show. There was a political infrastructure that keeps the Capitol Police from acting like other police departments in the country. They can't, even when their police instincts and their training say we got to do something, they got to go to political overseers. Is there a movement underway to among Democrats and Republicans to try to get rid of that political layer and allow police to do the job that they're trained to do?
There is, John. We're looking at several ways of reforming Capitol Police, and the Capitol Police Board is what you're referring to. Right. There have been some changes made in an actual emergency that the police chief does have more jurisdiction to call in for help. But that does not eliminate the political influence that exists in the Capitol Police. It's been there for a long time. It still exists. And that's one of the things we're driving deep into, is to find that political influence that should not be there. They should be able, they should have oversight, which is the job of my committee and the Rules Committee in the Senate. But they their decision making should not be driven by politics or the one term that comes up over and over and over again in this investigation is the term of optics. We don't like the optics of Capitol Police officers in riot gear out front. We don't like the optics of Capitol Police officers carrying those black guns. Look, that's a deterrent. I talk to people who come to Washington, D.C. When they go to the White House to just, you know, walk around the White House and look at it, most of them are looking for those Secret Service agents.
That's
they want
right.
to see the sniper on the roof. They want that makes them feel that their government is being secured. And I think people feel the same way when they come to the Capitol and they see Capitol Police officers standing out on the street with their weapons ready to defend the Capitol, because we know this is it's the people's house and they are invited into this house. We don't screen who comes into the Capitol office buildings because they have a right to be in here, at least under Republican control. We've opened up all the buildings. But when they see these officers at the ready and ready to respond, that in itself is a deterrent.
Yeah, so important.
Yeah, and the politicization of law enforcement organizations, I hate to say it, but I think that it has infected Capitol Police to a degree. And I think that the case with Congressman Jamal Bowman is another example, because it certainly seems like there was a little bit of politicizing of how that was handled too. Would you agree?
I do, and this has nothing to do with the frontline officers of the Capitol Police. They feel the same frustration you and I do. I talk to them daily. I meet with them. When I come into one of the entry points, I'll make a point to talk to them. We hear the same thing. The other thing that we need to make sure that we root out in this investigation are those that are still claiming that they have been retaliated against for telling the truth. They were asked what happened. They tell them from their perception what happened or their perspective, and then they've been forced in retirement. Some of them are still concerned about retribution against themselves. And that's one of the things we've had a hard time getting some officers who personally will talk to me, but you know, they still tell me they're afraid of retribution. And I did have a commitment from the current chief, Chief Manger, that there would be no retribution for whistleblowers. So we need to make sure that that they can come forward and tell us the truth. Because as I've said time and time again, my job in this position is to find out what really happened that day, not a political narrative on either side, but what really happened. How did this Capitol get infiltrated by people who should not have been in here, and fix it so it never happens again?
Yeah, so
Congressman,
important.
We just got about 20 seconds left. I just want to ask you, at any point in the future, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, do you ever think we'll know the full truth?
I believe so. And let me give a shout out to the new speaker, Mike Johnson, who is very supportive of our committee. We're working together, and he's going to make sure that we have the resources we need to get the truth out.
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back after these messages. Angie's List is now Angie, A-N-G-I, the nation's largest home services marketplace. And they're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project is, big or small, indoor or outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled professionals to get the job done well. That's what you want, right? I'm thinking about building out my basement in my cabin. I've been perusing Angie, looking for just the right contractor to get it done the way my wife and I want it done. Now, Angie can help you find the best price for your project. Angie lets you request and compare quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps, or book services at an upfront price based on local data. Angie has cost guides that tell you what others have paid for similar projects, both nationally and right in your neighborhood. That's important, right? You can do comparative shopping. Get started today at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today. The app and the website are free to use. Angie.com or the Angie app. Go check it out today. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you, because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000, or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews. Well, we're very lucky right now to be joined by someone who did some real old-fashioned sleuthing. We, as you know, the January 6th videotapes have been out there for people who want to get the truth to go through them. Our next guest, well, he went there and he found one of the most explosive moments, right? The media was obsessed with this on January 6th, right? There were these gallows set up that looked, suggested, and maybe there was a suggestion they were going to execute people who wouldn't stop the certification of the election. The media went wild, and then all of a sudden the media yawned and forgot about it. Apparently the FBI did too, but Ed Martin didn't. And he has been for the last few months going through video footage. He represents some of the defendants in the January 6th case. He's doing some great work. He's also a member of the Patriot Freedom Project board. And he joins us right now because he has some video footage that's remarkable. Ed, this was a big find, and we're going to show it in a second, but tell us why you went digging for this.
Well, John, thank you. It's great to be with you and Amanda. And I have to tell you, say, John, for, I don't know, a decade or more, you and I have known each other. And you've been somebody that in whatever spot you're in, you've shown me and others push for the truth. Right. Keep asking questions. Always, I think, keep a smile on your face. That's another part of your game plan. But look, in this case, I just kept going back into the terminals and looking at the January 6th video. And, you know, our next guest, I think, on the program, Congressman Barry Loudermilk, has been instrumental in directing his staff to help us do that. And one of the things in this case that I said to one of the young staffers, I said to him, look, if there was an honest media, if there were professional journalists, they'd be looking at, for example, the image that a friend of mine in Poland sent me of the gallows. Right. And a friend of mine in Australia said to me, hey, Ed, did they hang anybody that day? And I said, what are you talking about? And of course, the gallows became an iconic image, which is the whole show. The whole thing we've seen with January 6th has been image making in pursuit of Donald Trump. In fact, the Jack Smith, the prosecutor, admitted a couple weeks ago, he said, we need you to go forward with this, Your Honor. We're going to rely on the select committee's facts. That's the Liz Cheney, Pelosi, Benny Thompson committee that right. didn't get to any facts. They, in fact, they deleted video. They got rid of evidence. But what we found in this case, this young staffer said to me, I said, I wanted to see the gallows, but the camera's missing. And he said, Ed, it's not missing. Watch. And he pulled up the camera and we just worked our way backwards and we figured out that four guys set up the gallows at 6:30 in the morning on January 6th. It was a very serious production. They moved it out of a truck. They moved it across on wheels. They came back and forth. And more importantly than anything, as some of the images you have up show, they went to get coffee at about 7 in the morning. They went to coffee at the only coffee shop open at that time, which happens to be, well, it's right next to Georgetown Law School, but it's also right across from the FBI headquarters in D.C. So some there you see them. Something about this doesn't smell right. And here's the thing. And this is the story I think you have. Why can't the FBI or somebody tell us who did this? There was a gallows with a noose. They told us that's a hate crime. Remember NASCAR?
They did.
Bubba Watson or Bubba Thomas, what his name was. They said, oh, it's a hate crime. We got to get to the bottom of it. They haven't gotten to the bottom of this one, and we've shown them all the facts on this video.
We're showing the video, Ed, as you're talking, and it is so remarkable because you can see faces, you can see a cab, you can see a van. The FBI has the technology to do it, and yet we've been told, well, flat out, the FBI doesn't have a single suspect. That's remarkable. Amanda, what do you think?
Yeah, and Ed, you know, I think about the FBI and all of the tools that they have at their disposal. And even if it's too dark and too blurry in this video to capture license plate numbers, to see faces, I mean, we all know that there are cameras all over Washington, D.C.
Right.
It would be absolutely possible and pretty easy, I would think, to actually track these cars before they even get to Capitol grounds. Why do you think that they haven't at least pursued that?
Well, you know, again, I've learned over this time, I think we've all gone through this, that the old adage that Ronald Reagan taught us, he said, trust, then verify. You know, the idea, my operating system is distrust, then verify. There's no reason, Amanda, as you point out, there's no reason that they can't get to the bottom of it other than willful desire to not. I mean, look, the select committee goes through their whole report, the Cheney, Pelosi, Thompson select committee. It goes on hundreds of pages, only mentions the pipe bomber on page 200 and something, and never gets to the bottom of the gallows. And so see, no one wanted to. And I look at this point, my distrust of the FBI, and I think John has the story. They've confirmed they have no suspects. All these years later, they have no suspects on the gallows. And we have images. As soon as we put this video out, we had hundreds of citizens who went to open.inc/J6 to look at the videos we put out, and they sent us tips. We have better images. Mr. Coffee, what we call him, the ringleader, he changes his coat at one point. He takes off his outer coat and has a different coat on. I mean, he's wearing, we call him Gallows Cowboy is a guy who's wearing a cowboy hat. And at one point, he puts Mr. Coffee's hat on underneath his cowboy hat. They were changing this up. Look, if this wasn't FBI agents or agents doing it, then it was clearly someone. Oh, look, here's how I say it. If it was MAGA that did the gallows, then they're jerks and idiots. I think it's more likely it's either Democrats or liberal operatives or the press or the FBI. But why hasn't someone gotten to the bottom of it? I have no idea except to say I distrust them all and suspect, therefore, bad motives.
Yeah, and Ed, you know, this is great gumshoe work by, and you deserve a lot of credit because it's painful going through these videos. It takes a long time to find things, but you did it. But there's something shocking about this, and I'm just thinking, imagine if I checked into the White House and I brought with me gallows and I set them up and nobody took them down for 6-7 hours. You're like, what the heck's going on? These guys set up for 6-7 hours and no one in the Capitol Police, the Park Police, the FBI, the Metropolitan, no one said, hey guys, that's not licensed. You don't have a permit for that. Take that down. They left it there so that it would be visible during the thing. That's a big clue, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And two things. One is, on the video we show, we've got the Gallows Gang using their phones. So you don't have to be 2,000 mules to figure out that you can track their pinging, and the FBI could do it. But to your point, I have had permits for events on the Capitol, and you're limited to a foot high and like 4x4 or 6x6. This thing was about 6 feet high, and it was much bigger. But it gets even crazier, John. They actually set up the gallows and don't put the crossbar on until about 1 o'clock. In fact, about 1:07, when Donald Trump is finishing his speech. So they build the whole thing, and they leave it, and they go off and get coffee at about 7:15. They're gone. Then they come back with the noose and the crossbar. You see it right there. Yeah. And then they put it together. In other words, it was all, they didn't want to risk that someone would tear it down. Because as you know, John and Amanda, you've seen MAGA crowds. Somebody'd probably look at that and say, that's stupid. That's going to make us look bad, and tear it down. Right. And so they did, they were that, that there was that much planning going on, and park police are everywhere, and no one says a thing. The next day, it was taken down by a special crew. The crew, not the crew that swept up the dirt and the garbage and the cups, but a special crew, because a big structure, they came and took it down. Again, nobody thought to stop and say, what is this? Nobody, no FBI guy said, let's grab that and see if we can figure out. Nothing. Again, willful disregard for the truth, and the fact that Liz Cheney and her team didn't get to the bottom of it betrays the reality. They want the talking point. They want the image, because they don't want the truth. They just want the big lie that January 6th was something so terrible. And we're going to get to the bottom of it. I'm confident with leadership like Congressman Loudermilk, we're going to find out what exactly happened and at least break the spell, to break the hoax, if not hold the people that did it accountable.
So amazing. Yeah.
Amazing. I mean, unfortunately, investigators still haven't been able to draw fingerprints off of a plastic baggie of cocaine, and someone at the White House was snow skiing, and I don't know if we're ever going to learn who it was. Right. I wanted to ask you, though, about the availability of what you have needed to find out more information. Obviously, you were able to get these videos or to see these videos and use them to investigate. But have you been afforded everything you need by Congress when you've asked for it?
You know, I have a really close relationship with Congressman Barry Loudermilk and Congressman Pete Sessions of Texas. Those two guys have gone to bat for us to get everything we wanted. Now, I'm of the opinion, like others, that we need to get all the video released to the public so they can see it and they can crowdsource it and review it. But I have gone after specific aspects of what's going on. I have gone in there with defendants. So you mentioned, John, that I represent three folks and I'm on the board of the Patriot Freedom Project. I've gone in there to look for them. I've gone in with some of the paralegals. So I'm very satisfied in the sense that as much as I can do and as much as I need to do, I've been allowed to do. I just will acknowledge what John said earlier. It's tens of thousands of hours. And even looking at minutes, you're spending a lot of time. And to get to the bottom of it, we need more access. But I have had a great, I have nothing but good things to say about the staff of those guys and what's come about. But, you know, I'm of the mind, too. I know this town and the swamp. We've got about 6 months before the members of Congress in both parties start running for re-election. So there is a timer on this that we've got to get pushing faster. But I feel I like to say good things about this process. I don't like to complain, because I want us to make progress, and I think we're making progress.
Well, you helped the American people get some big progress on that. This is a big discovery, and it's just so obvious that the law enforcement, when they want to solve a case, they can solve a case. When they don't want to solve a case, they're pretty good at just ignoring very obvious stuff. It's very obvious. So that's what went on here. We got a minute left. I want to ask about your clients. What is the spirit? What is the mindset of people who've been through this process or sitting in jail? And they see, you know, we've been brought to prosecution, but guys like the Gallo set up, they walked off. Does it demoralize them?
Yeah. It does. It does. And I'll tell you that PatriotFreedomProject.com is our website. We get calls every day. We got one yesterday, the day before, people getting arrested because they're not stopping. The DOJ wants this to be, they want this lie, the great hoax of January 6th, to be a talking point and a reality into the election cycle. But the three guys that I represent is very, very tough. I mean, you know, these are working people. These aren't wealthy people. The people that are really being stuck are having a hard time. And they're very, you know, a federal prosecutor. Prosecutor is a hard enemy to beat, a hard opponent. So it is disheartening. And the double standard, as you point out, is troubling. So we worry about it.
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back, everybody. Over the weekend, hundreds of thousands of people marched in London calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. Now, this demonstration is now being touted as the largest pro-Palestinian rally that the city has seen since the Israel-Hamas war broke out just over a month ago. But our next guest tonight wrote a great new piece for The Telegraph titled How Thatcher Would Have Crushed the Pro-Palestinian Protesters. Mal Gardner was an aide to former Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher and has successfully led the Margaret Thatcher Center for Freedom at the Heritage Foundation as their director. Niall, it's great to see you. Thank you for being here, sir.
It's great to be here, Amanda. Thank you very much for having me on the show today.
Yeah. Niall, as I see these videos of this protest and others that happened prior to the one this weekend, but this one was by far the largest. And I think about your piece, and it's in a brilliant piece, and how Margaret Thatcher would have treated this. And, you know, unfortunately, I look at the policies of the last 10 years and I'm not entirely surprised by what has happened. What do you think has been the number one contributor of what we ultimately ended up seeing culminate over the weekend with these protests?
Well, thank you very much for your very kind comments about the Telegraph article on Margaret Thatcher and how she would have handled the protest. I would say the number one contributor to what we're seeing on the streets of London has been mass migration into the country, especially from the Middle East in the last 10, mm-hmm. 20 years. And I do think if Margaret Thatcher was prime minister today, she would be acting very strongly against what are, in essence, really hate marches. There's a great deal of anti-Semitism. There's a lot of violence, intimidation. There have been attacks on Jews in London. And I think that we are seeing in many respects here a huge protest by a lot of people who, frankly, not only hate Israel, but they also hate Great Britain as well. And as the former Home Secretary, Suella Braverman, pointed out, multiculturalism in the United Kingdom has been a huge failure. And mass migration into the UK has been very damaging in so many respects. And I do think the kind of extremism that we're seeing on the streets of Britain today is an illustration of very, very lax immigration controls over the last couple of decades in place in the United Kingdom. We're seeing the result of that. And we're also seeing, undoubtedly, I think, dangerous actors such as the Iranian regime stirring things up. There are large numbers of pro-Hamas protesters on the streets of London. These are people openly supporting a murderous and barbaric terrorist organization. And these protests should have been banned under Britain's counter-terrorist legislation. And we should not be permitting people to go on the streets of London supporting banned terrorist organizations.
Mm-hmm. It's a remarkable moment now, because this sentiment would have been the sentiment 10, 20 years ago. There's no doubt in all across government. Today, there's appeasement and apologia to really extremism in the world. And when someone tries to speak up about it, well, they get removed. To walk us through what's just happened in the cabinet in Great Britain right now, because I think a lot of people's heads here are still spinning trying to figure out how did that happen?
Yes. So Suella Braverman, who is the Home Secretary, was sacked from the British cabinet this morning by Prime Minister Rishi Sunak. And this followed a series of interventions by the Home Secretary, former Home Secretary, basically attacking the protesters' hate marches, She condemned the handling of these protests by the Metropolitan Police in London, saying they were too soft and did not apply the law properly or enforce the law properly. And Suella Braverman really was the leading voice condemning multiculturalism in Britain. She is in many respects a true conservative in the Thatcher mold. And I do think that her condemnation of these hate marches, as she called them, was expressing the sentiments of the vast majority of the British people who've had enough of these violent, menacing, anti-Semitic protests on the streets of London and other British cities. But her strength and resolve was punished with her sacking by the British Prime Minister, which is an absolutely astonishing move, a terrible move by the Prime Minister. And already there's been a very strong backlash by a lot of British Conservatives against what is happening here, an outrage over the removal of Suella Braverman, who really was an outstandingly good Home Secretary.
Well, and speaking of that Prime Minister, is the sacker about to become the sackee? Because I know that Conservatives have submitted a letter of no confidence.
Yeah, so already the first letter of no confidence was submitted this this evening in London by a former British minister. I expect there will be many more letters of no confidence expressed in the Prime Minister. And we could see potentially a leadership contest for the leadership of the Conservative Party if we have a sufficient number of MPs who express no confidence in the Prime Minister. But it's early days at the moment. But I think we are seeing the beginning of a rebellion against Rishi Sunak. And there are many Conservative MPs, I understand, who are deeply unhappy with the Prime Minister's decision to sack Suella Braverman, but also his decision to appoint former Prime Minister David Cameron as the Foreign Secretary of Great Britain. Yeah. That has also sparked a lot of outrage among among British Conservatives.
Now, I want to ask about who's next. If Sunak is in trouble, if the Prime Minister is in trouble right now, who has emerged as a potential rival? Who has is beginning to win the confidence of the Conservative movement in Great Britain?
Well, I think there are three main contenders on the right of the Conservative Party who would challenge Sunak in the event of a leadership contest. They would be Suella Braverman, the former Home Secretary,
right.
Priti Patel, another former Home Secretary, and Kemi Badenoch, who is the current International Trade Secretary and Business Secretary. I think they are the three key leading figures on the right. But you'll also see figures from the centre of the Conservative Party and on the left of the Conservative Party also vying for the leadership. And you may see, for example, figures like Penny Mordaunt, sure. Tom Tugendhat throwing their hat in the ring in the event of a contest. But we're still a long way off, I would say, right now from another leadership contest. But it could happen in the next few weeks, potentially, if you have a large enough rebellion against Sunak. And I think that rebellion certainly is starting to build now.
It's hard to believe, but that wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports, the podcast from Just the News. I'm really grateful that each of you could join today. Now, one reminder, a lot of people say, hey, John, do you have an app at the Just the News? And the answer is we sure do. And not only do we have an app, it's in the Apple Store. It's also in the Android Store. It allows you to take the Just the News experience and go in three different ways. You can watch our videos and television shows. You can listen to this podcast and many others like it, like Victor Davis Hanson, or you can read the stories that we do a day, 50, 60, 70 stories a day of the breaking news, investigative reporting, accountability reporting. Go to the iOS App Store or the Android Store today. Download the Just the News app. Read, watch, listen. Three great ways to experience the Just the News content and to join the Just the News family. All right, folks, that wraps up John Solomon Reports, the podcast from Just the News. God bless you. God bless you. Have a great night. God bless this great country of the United States. Be sure to go to justthenews.com if you need that news fix. We got you covered 24/7. Hey, folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you got to do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD Gold. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653 or gold, or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family.
Hey there, it's Amanda Head, and I am thrilled to introduce to you my new exciting podcast, Furthermore with Amanda Head, broadcasting weekly from sunny Los Angeles, California, and brought to you by the dynamic Just the News podcast network. On this fresh and engaging podcast, I delve into the latest news with a little bit of a twist, exploring the furthermore of every story. But this isn't your typical run-of-the-mill news commentary or politically charged program. I interview a diverse range of guests, including business leaders, entertainers, musicians, educators, experts, politicians, and many influential figures from both the United States and around the world. So why not make your Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays a little more interesting? Tune in on your preferred podcast platform and discover Furthermore with Amanda Head on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. And don't forget to hit that follow or subscribe button and be sure to download the latest episodes. I can't wait to have you join me on this exciting journey.